The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
It's not just about good health, it's about good food. Hi, it's Doc Thompson for Minnestalgia Foods and Wild Rice. Edible memories from Minnesota's Northwoods. Wild berries, jellies and syrups, pepper jams that me and my family love, whipped honeys, maple syrup, maple sugar, plus wild rice and wild rice mixes like pancake mix, soup mixes, waffle mix, and hot cereals. BlazeWildRice.com to see all of their products. It's BlazeWildRice.com because most people can't remember how to spell Minnestalgia, myself included. Check out BlazeWildRice.com.
I watched a video this weekend about a drone that they make now the size of a bee.
That was in Black Mirror.
That can go in the water, and the water is what weights the wings back up so that it balances itself and then can fly out of the water.
Wow.
It's really, really cool.
That's Black Mirror.
However, we also have, and we have drones flying above us for safety at events. All over for our safety. It's always for the children. We have drones doing that for us now. And we also have five cities that are going to be chosen by the FAA by the first of the year that are vying for those tests to be test cities to have drone deliveries to your home, which I'm
all for that.
Yes. I mean, we have the Amazon building not far from where we live here in the DFW, and you can get same-day shipping with a car. I want same phone line. Yes, I'd like some toothpaste and have it drop at my door.
Yep.
I get that. However, we also have some issues with some safety measures of drones. At the UN, to this very day,
they're showing a video of the ability of artificial intelligence and robots to essentially wipe out human civilization without being told to do so, that they can decide to do it on their own, which is, admittedly, that's a little frightening.
So joining us is Brett Velikovich, who is the author of Drone Warrior, an elite soldier's inside account of the hunt for America's most dangerous enemies. And I read an article by Brett this weekend, who is giving us some kind of warning that I think we need to listen to. Hey, Brett, how you doing?
Hey, good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. No problem. Thank you for being on. So, Brett, should we be worried about the drones?
You know, I hate to be the guy that's out there fear-mongering, but at the same time, I come from interesting background in the special operations community, and I used to utilize some of the most sophisticated drones in the U.S. government's arsenal to hunt down terrorists. Now, so I have a little bit of knowledge on what you can do with these things, but the fact is consumer and commercial drones nowadays, the technology is far surpassed anything that I could have ever imagined. I mean, the stuff that's available now that you can just buy off Amazon or go to a local store and buy is incredible. I wish I had it in the military. And so with that technology comes the potential that bad actors like groups like ISIS may use it for dangerous purposes. At one point during the clearing of Mosul, when ISIS had come back, the CENTCOM was reporting over 80 attacks from consumer drones every single week. And so basically ISIS members were taking these off-the-shelf drones, strapping mortars to them, and then dropping them over coalition forces. So it's definitely something to be concerned about, that's for sure.
All right, but Brett, and I brought this point up earlier this morning, years ago it used to be RC-controlled airplanes and helicopters. And those have been around. I mean, those were around when I was in junior high. A couple of guys in school were into those. So what's changed now that makes it so much different?
I think the biggest thing is just how easy they are to use. You would be surprised some of the things that you can do with drones. For instance, next week I'm literally helping do the grand opening for a Marriott hotel in Chicago, where we've got drones that are mixing drinks. They're carrying around cocktail shaker, shaking them, stirring, and then literally delivering drinks to people's tables. And if you can modify a drone to carry glass with a cocktail in it, you can modify it in a way that's very easy to, if you know what you're doing, to put explosives on it. And
okay, it's pretty cool though to have a drone give you a drink. That's pretty cool.
And yeah. That's kind of cool. And to be honest, I don't know that I believe you, Brett. You are going to have to come here and show me that it works.
I will send you the video to prove it. You know, maybe I'll send a drink to your home. Who knows? It'll just drop from above.
So how with the advancement of these drones, and obviously, I mean, we have pilots flying drones over, you know, over countries, drones, you know, the size right. of at least small commercial airlines. But with, you know, the advancement of the smaller drones, how much is for our safety, and how much do I really need to start being worried about looking up and going, you know, that doesn't look like mm-hmm. the drone that's taking pictures for my safety?
Yeah, so it's come a long way, that's for sure. Look, from the U.S. government military standpoint, we dominate the airspace when it comes to military drones.
Yeah.
But since we focus so much money on that, we spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year on making that technology more precise and better for some of our counterterrorism operations. But since we've been focusing on that, the Chinese have really come in and crushed us on the consumer and commercial space. So they've built these smaller drones that are more capable. There were over 2.1 million drones sold in the U.S. alone just last year. 80% of them are made by one Chinese manufacturer in particular, which I think is pretty crazy.
Wow.
But at the same time, the tech is moving. It's just moving so fast that now the drones nowadays have sense and avoid technology, so they can literally move around obstacles. They have the ability to return home if the battery gets low. They have the ability to just follow you around automatically, really without much doing much to it. And so the tech has come so far that that's where it gets a bit scary. Now, look, you know, when I'm not talking with you guys, I'm out there actually promoting like the drones for good and the things that we're using them for to help, you know, solve humanitarian issues and things like that. So most of the time, this is an issue, but every so often, you know, you have to be worried about the tech. One example is I was just asked to be a expert witness at a trial for the Department of Justice a few weeks ago where an ISIS sympathizer, a U.S. citizen in Florida, threatened to kill a judge with a drone and basically fly that drone up to the 30th floor of where this judge's office is. And so that's the danger in it all.
Well, and what is it that we are as humans, we are so fascinated with this whole the ability of drones to deliver products to us, to, you know, in a hotel, little robots to bring our food to our room. What is that about humans that we think it's so fascinating that we have to have these machines do it for us?
Oh, God, I've been thinking about that for a while now.
It's weird, isn't it? I mean, we have a fascination with it.
Absolutely. It's just the tech. I mean, there's no reason, like, it's not more efficient for a drone to be mixing a cocktail, but it's entertaining. And so people pay a lot of money for the entertainment value of that, and we want to have all the fancy tech. But there is something to say for you mentioned kind of in the opening of this, the new FAA test sites and how the White House has put out this presidential memo to expand the use of that. There's been an issue where our technology, the Amazons and the Googles of the world that have been building these drone programs, have had to take their testing overseas. They've had to go to the UK. They've had to go to New Zealand or Australia to test these programs because the FAA does not allow, they choose caution here over innovation.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, we've only got, I think in the U.S. there's only one area where they've delivered a couple of things with the drone product-wise here in the U.S., in Arizona or New Mexico, and the others have all been overseas.
Correct? And yeah. I think that's a problem when American companies do not own this space. I mean, how is it that we've got Boeings and Lockheed Martins that dominate the military side, but yet we can't, you know, build something to compete with the Chinese
That's
on the consumer side. And so I hope that kind of changes with some of the new stuff the White House is doing.
It's going to have to, right? I mean, we can't have that. We can't. And I say it's going to have to, and then I look around and say, Jeff, you're an idiot, because it doesn't have to. But I mean, there's going to be drones flying in our airspace over our citizens. It has to be us, right? I mean, it has to be.
At least at a minimum from the counter drone perspective. Right now, there's a race going on in Silicon Valley to come up with counter drone solutions. So a lot of drones right now have geofencing. So, for instance, I'm sitting in Washington D.C. now. If I tried to fly a drone outside, the geofencing would actually block the drone from even taking off, or if I was trying to fly into it, it would stop it from going. It acts essentially as a virtual fence. At the same time, I think the future of that is, I think we will see the day when geofencing is privatized, to where if your backyard, you've got your own private geofence, and either charge people money to be able to fly over your property, or you just simply block it out completely. I think we will definitely see the day when that happens. But there's a number of different systems out there that are able to track drones in the air and are able to tell if they're carrying a payload. You can determine if one's just out there filming versus,
I mean, you own the airspace, you know, New York City, Manhattan, all those buildings, you own the airspace, right? You own up.
Yep.
You might as well.
Yep.
What's in Texas, I mean, you live in Texas as we do. I mean, that's something. I mean, you own the land beneath you. You might as well own the airspace.
Mm-hmm.
What's the range on a typical drone? How far away can you go?
And still,
I mean, I know the military ones are a bit more, you know, intense, where you can, you know, you can go miles away from the location.
The
pilot doesn't have to be close. What is that in the commercial stance?
On the commercial stance, pretty much the one that you can just buy from a local store and use it for inspections or whatever. You're typically looking at a range of 2 to 3 miles. You can extend that with a range extender. So we actually have this project where we go to East Africa quite a bit. I'm going back to Somalia in 2 weeks to train the Somali police on how to use essentially consumer drones to look for bombs, because they've been getting crushed out there by Al-Shabaab. And we're taking drones that can fly 2-3 miles away from the remote, extending them out so that it'll help the police out there stay safe and protect their citizens. And so it's not a crazy amount of range, but it's enough. It's enough to, get some insight into what you're about to get into to make sure that there's no bad guys or whatever. So the ranges, though, they keep extending. You know, all these manufacturers, they're trying to work on battery, extending the battery life. You get about 30 minutes on average per battery with some of the good stuff that's out there.
Amazon will have that figured out within a couple of years. Don't worry about it.
I think so.
I mean, are you assisting in any of that? Because, I mean, I see where the reason I ask is because I've actually seen a couple of plans where, you know, if they're going to start delivering with drones, they've got to have some place to land the drones. They've got to have some sort of package area to pick up the products that they're going to purchase, right? And so there's got to be, in neighborhoods, there's got to be something that's going to be some kind of drone charging station.
The way they'll do it versus, like, how they have these Amazon lockers essentially out there where the local pickup area, they'll create essentially these Amazon drop zones.
My idea would be to use, all those old blue mailboxes behind the post office that are just collecting rust. Those are battery chargers for drones, man.
Oh, I like that. I like that. No, they do have, they have systems now that you could kind of daisy chain these solar powered charging stations, and you can have a drone land into one. It will charge it and then it'll take off and you can keep going. So that's another way to extend that range as well. So,
and I said, I did see
a good plan.
Yeah, those are great. I did see actually, I joke about the mailbox, I think if that's too low and could, people would want to try to grab it and cause harm to the drone, which is why I saw one that was actually, a light pole size where it has like four landing pads and the charging station would be there overlooking the area, which is,
they're already doing it in Switzerland with medical supplies.
Fantastic.
So they already have a system to do exactly that. It's just the laws out there are less restrictive.
Right.
So I could see, following that similar path.
That's tremendous. Anyway, Brett Velikovic, I appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you. You didn't scare me too bad, although I'm still really concerned. Author of Drone Warrior, and I'll expect the drink to arrive from the Marriott.
Christmas will come early for you guys.
Thank you very much. Brett, thank you very much for joining us on the Blaze Radio Network. I appreciate it. And the Morning Blaze. Appreciate it. Take care.
It's not just about good health, it's about good food. Hi, it's Doc Thompson for Minnestalgia Foods and Wild Rice. Edible memories from Minnesota's Northwoods. Wild berries, jellies and syrups, pepper jams that me and my family love, whipped honeys, maple syrup, maple sugar, plus wild rice and wild rice mixes like pancake mix, soup mixes, waffle mix, and hot cereals. BlazeWildRice.com to see all of their products. It's BlazeWildRice.com because most people can't remember how to spell Minnestalgia, myself included. Check out BlazeWildRice.com.
Knowledge is power. Tweet at us with the hashtag #WhatILearnedToday. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.